This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, February 16th, 2016, episode 57. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. If you're interested in gaming, geekiness, and more, check out thecrummyshow.com. Back again, Brian with an eye, Aldridge. Hi, Brian.
Hey. So, yeah, if you want to find me, go ahead and go to biteoftech.com. That's with an I, biteoftech.com. Or on Twitter. I've been on Twitter the last couple of days
that's my account.
So, at Boise Computer. Also, definitely check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. We have our TeamSpeak, our Steam group. And, I mean, I've been playing a bunch of different games lately. So, if you're wanting to, like, I've been playing Dying Light, and that has a multiplayer. You know, no one has asked me to join in my game on that yet. So that'd be kind of fun. Get some people that have some of those games where we can play. And I know we want to play Left 4 Dead here in the coming weeks as a group. So get some people together.
I'm a big fan of Left 4 Dead. The campaign of Left 4 Dead is awesome.
Yeah.
I did as well play some games this week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But tomorrow is the day, Brian.
Yes.
We have been finally, our 57 weeks of work is paying off.
Paying off, yes.
It's the millions of dollars that we've made. It's all coming full circle tomorrow.
Yes.
If you missed episode 56 of Infection, the survival podcast, we talked about the H1Z1 split. That's happening tomorrow. So quick recap with that. It's going to be H1Z1, King of the Kill, KOTK, and then H1Z1 Just Survive. Just Survive is going to be the core survival element, and the KOTK is going to be the BR mode that we currently have. So tomorrow is the day, and we can get right into that with the information about this. This is the latest information from Daybreak. So starting at 4:30 a.m.
We didn't make it up this time.
Typically we make this stuff up. So with speculation you can just make it up. And then later, you can just backtrack. Say, I was wrong. But this is real.
See, and I have some really good speculation that came to me that has me really worried.
Was it in a dream?
After we cover this, like, something came to me, and I'm like, oh, no. So we'll
was
get
it a dream?
After. No, it actually came to me when I was watching The Crummy Show.
I thought you were saying, like, in the shower. He'd be like, I was in the shower.
No, I was watching The Crummy Show, and something you said.
Oh, I know.
Brought this dread over me, and so go ahead. I mean, let's go ahead with this, and I'll talk about it right after.
Yeah. So tomorrow, it's tomorrow, starting at 4:30 a.m. Pacific. I feel bad for these developers, right? Anybody that works at Daybreak, it's like, I'll see you later, honey. I'll see you whenever this happens. So starting at 4:30 a.m. Pacific tomorrow, so Wednesday morning. The work begins, and the expected downtime is 12 hours. I expect it to be down more. With a change like this, and actually the next thing kind of pulls that all in. It says unexpected things might pop up that require additional downtime of up to 24 hours. They could take 36 hours. They could take 48 hours to take these servers offline. If there is an issue, Brian, mark my words, if there is an issue with the servers right away, I'm going to be beyond pissed. They could turn the servers off for a week. I don't care. I just want them to work when they come back online. That's fine. 24, 48, I don't care.
They've been able to test this. I mean, they haven't put out a real update for who knows how long. So they've got to have some internal build of this that they've been doing that they could run on anybody's computer and to test it. I mean, it's got to be close. And it's the same code split up.
Well, yeah, but I think it's.
I mean, they probably did some changes to it
because it's going to be now. It's two
pretty much the same code.
It's two different servers. I would imagine that
it just looks up a certain server list.
No, but I'm saying, I guess you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like they could take this same game right now and just say, all right, on this one we're going to show that. Well, let's change this loading screens. Let's change the menu. All right, when you go here, this one sees these.
I wonder if they're moving to new hardware. Servers. I wonder if they're using this opportunity to move to new hardware. Because
this has got to be a wipe.
Oh, you know, it hasn't been said unless it
hasn't
was in
said, but
it's got to be,
right? I can't imagine them not taking this opportunity to do a wipe.
It's a Valentine's Day. They didn't do a 33% off, so I'm not sure about the wipe. I mean, here's the thing. The survival servers and the BR servers now are two different servers. They're not the same. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like there's really.
But maybe they're putting all the survival servers on PHVCK saying they confirmed a wipe. That's we assumed a wipe. I just didn't see a post saying there was a wipe. There may easily. There probably was. I would imagine, Brian, that they're taking the survival servers, putting that all one place, and then taking the BR or the I'm still calling it BRs, whatever, the BR servers and putting them in another place. Yeah. I would imagine right now they're all on the same, not, you know, maybe they're all virtualized on the same boxes, but maybe they're doing, I think they're doing a total split. So I guess that's what's going to happen. So they say an additional downtime of 24 hours. So they're saying at the most 36 hours. Should be up in about 12 hours.
He says three survival servers, 100 BR servers.
There you go. Everything is always very high. You just sit in that queue. We're ready to waiting to get into the game. So
I mean, they do only need three survival servers right now. That'd be perfect. Why don't they get to where they can have more than what, you know, they can have hundreds of people. Right now, it's probably only hundreds of people playing survival. They could have 100 and whatever people on one server.
Yeah.
Make three servers. That would be more than enough to cover the people right now. And then as people start coming on, have them start joining other servers. You know, then bring servers online. But make people be together on Hypop servers for the moment.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. So I guess we'll see. But that's tomorrow. Yeah. I planned on playing tomorrow, but I don't know.
Meh, the servers, we got other things we can play.
Well, no. You know, Brian, you've taken a very deep, dark path.
Okay, well, you're going to love what I say next.
I'm excited tomorrow. I hope that by 4 o'clock Eastern, the servers are back online, which is a possibility. So I'm excited. I can't wait. It's more, and I think I've said this before. Yeah, really negative, Brian. It's more than just the game. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for our older members of our community for us to meet again. Because we met a lot of, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I know I'm repeating myself. We have met so many great people, either through the clan or through the podcast, you know, through H1Z1. It's just great. So many great, some crappy people, but so many cool people that I haven't talked to in months. That it would just be great to just talk to them again. And I think H1Z1, you know, half of it is the split and half of it is like, I hope somebody logs on and I can be like, hey man, what's going on? How are you? How are things? I'm for the most part, you know, contrary to what Brian says, I'm pretty friendly, even though I live in New York. Like we've met so many great people and I really hope that, you know, some of those people will come back to H1Z1 and we, our group was awesome, Brian. We had a cool freaking group. Everybody was so cool. So, and PHVCK saying they won't. Thank you. Thanks for just, they're just raining on my parade. Now, Brian, I'm going to let you take it. Right, I'm just going to mute my headphones.
My worry.
See you later. Bye-bye. Taking a break.
So I was listening to your show and you were talking.
What's the URL for that?
thecrummyshow.com.
.com, yes.
Yeah. So I was listening to your show and you were explaining to Jake about the split and everything. And then all of a sudden, a fear came over me. Oh. And I was thinking to myself,
I'm leaving you.
What if this is them giving themselves the opportunity to finally get rid of survival? They're putting battle royales into a final release game that is being marked as complete and will be sold, correct?
That is true.
And survival is still staying in alpha status.
This is also true.
What if this is the opportunity for them over time to say, you know what? We realize that this game isn't going to work and they can drop survival without dropping BRs.
You're going like conspiracy theory on me.
What if this is the long-term plan? They're like, we're never going to make money off of survival. How can we get rid of survival without everybody being so pissed. Everyone will be so pissed at, oh, this game didn't work. And they're not going to be as pissed at BR.
No, everybody's still going to be pissed because the only people
but
that bought
separate games.
Oh, I don't care that they're separate games. They will. I mean, here's the thing. The problem that I saw with making money on survival was due to the free to play model. That is now gone. There is no longer a free to play model. It doesn't exist.
Like Bat Shane Puller, he's thinking exactly what I'm thinking. This could be their long-term plan to be able to say, if they can't figure out a way to make survival work, and if it keeps on treading water for so long, you know, for however much longer, they can say, you know what, we tried, it just isn't going to work. We're sorry, you know, whatever. Would they have the option to drop the alpha? I mean, they could.
They could. This is a possibility. Do you even hear the music in the background?
There, now
I hear. It's conspiracy hour here. I don't know. It's possible.
This popped into my head. Like, this could be the reason that they're splitting it. They're not going to tell anybody that. But just that popped in my head and was like, oh, this seems very real.
I see what you're saying. If they were going to just... If they did not plan on taking survival, you know, through the next... I don't know, 2 years. I mean, realistically, right? When you're like doing company stuff, you're like, all right, this is our 2 year projected path. You don't project 6 months. Or, I mean, you do, but you also do the, you know, longer term. If they didn't plan on having survival on, why would they even be why are they wasting their time on Z2? Well, I mean, there are so many things that they're already so invested in.
But what if Z2 is also going to be in BRs? Like, what if that's a BR map as well? I mean, it wouldn't make as much sense.
No,
in BRs,
it wouldn't. But, I mean, they're going to...
But what if they're going to do it by sections, and then when you do a BR, it can spawn you into... You can spawn into different sections of the map to where it's going to be more concentrated randomly throughout the map. Like that, they could still use all the elements of Z2.
I don't know.
So that
why? Why do you think that though? I mean, more than the money, because that money is no longer. This is going to be a $40
for them. Well, that's the thing is, I don't think they think they've made all their money they can off of survival. Like people have bought it. All the people that are really into survival have bought it. Survival's not going to get all the parents' money. It's not going to get the 12-year-olds to 17-year-olds that are asking their parents for money. Those people aren't the ones that are going to buy any more survival. It's all people, for the most part, that are 20-plus, and those people have already bought it. How are they going to make money? The people that are in survival aren't going to buy all these cheesy pants and shirts and hats. They may buy one or two, like certain ones, because they're kind of an RP crowd. You know, they want to get a certain look, and they're going to stick with that look. They're not like the ones that are just trying to be trolls wearing weird things and running around and just being stupid and yelling into their mics constantly. This is a different kind of crowd that they can't make money on.
Brian, I think you're off your rocker with this one. I don't think they would be investing the time. Now, I'm not saying that your theory is impossible. Because it is a very real possibility that they get to a point where they say, this thing is not practical. I do not think that them splitting these two games apart, they're like, we are going to show those survival bastards that we could care less about them.
But I think they're making it so that they have the option.
Oh, and now the option.
Dumping money.
The option,
that they
yes.
They say, all right, we want to keep our moneymaker, which is BRs.
It's not going to be,
though. We keep making that money. But we can, if it's just not working out and our investors say, you know what, this is it. Like, we've put enough money into survival and you guys are too slow. The engine's crap, you know, whatever it is that is making it so survival just doesn't go. I mean, cause look at the other games that can instantly surpass it because of better engines. Oh. I mean, we could talk about, you played a game with us this past week that much smaller development team.
Yeah.
Barely any money going into it yet. It feels like a much better game. There's a few things missing to make it get to that next level that they're putting in.
But
game-wise, it's 100% better than Survival H1Z1.
Yeah. Now, I don't disagree with you to the fact that when they split, they were like, all right, this is an option for us to kill one or the other. Now, I don't disagree with that, but I think they are willing. I don't think they're willing. I'm certain that they are going to go full steam ahead into survival. Because here's the thing. They've invested so much time already. BR at the... Remember, BR is not going to be free to play anymore. So this money-making scheme is only going to work once the game is in alpha. Once the game is out of alpha and finally releases, it's going to be a $20 title. They are going to make so much money off of just the... Most people do not sink $20 into skins or crates or keys or whatever the hell you want to call them. Most people are not going to put $20 into that. They're going to get their $20 initially, and they may spend $5 or $10 on skins, but that's going to be it. I do not think that the reason they will kill off survival is going to be because of a money issue. I just don't. They're going to be charging $20, maybe even $40 when this game releases.
But what if they can't pull off a good survival game? That's what I'm saying. They haven't been able to do it.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Is what if they get to it and say, you know what? To be able to do this is just too much work.
Like, it's been a year, Brian. If they were at a point where they weren't confident they could pull off a survival game, they would have just killed off survival and only released King of the Kill. That would be a PR nightmare.
It
doesn't matter about a PR
nightmare.
It's
still the same game.
But I'm saying they could have.
This is not going to affect their Steam ranking once they split the games.
Oh, yes, it will.
The new game will have a Steam ranking on one. The other one will have a Steam ranking on the other. The people that, you know, you could have it to where the people that already purchased it are going to be mad. But all these people that they disappoint in the future that buy the game that they never release over the next year, let's say they're still developing it. Those are all going to be on one game and the other one's still going to have the same ranking.
I do not see this as an opportunity for them to. If there was a thought of killing off survival, I can't imagine they would continue putting time into it. Because at this point, they could just make a kick-ass, fast-paced, you know, BR. They could just make so many more improvements to BR. Why would they even waste their time?
We haven't seen them do anything yet, though, so that'll be interesting to see. Like you said, they will either go full steam or they're continued treading water, saying, oh, we got a team on it with three people. You know, whatever. It'll go one way or the other. And we won't know until a couple months into this when either they start kicking out regular updates that have real content that make a difference on survival, because all the updates for the most part up until now have had very little difference. They were mostly ones that affected BRs.
Like, but that's going to change. ATVs, that's all going to change.
People don't really care about them in survival. I mean, they're nice utilities, but all the things that the guns and all those things that they add have all been, look at what they've done to base building. They put in the towers. I mean, they put in the deck extensions, and this is in what, 6, 7, 8 months.
Yeah.
There's been 6 to 7, 8 months that's what they've done for survival. They put in tripwires. I mean, you know,
Here's the thing, Brian, the whole point, and they were very clear about this. These will be two different development teams now. There will be people whose job is to work on survival. This is where we were running into the issue. They were so focused on BR because this game was a free-to-play game once it was ready to launch that they had to figure out how to make money. Exactly. They had to figure out how to make money. That is no longer going to be an issue. They've already sold over 2 million. They have so much freaking money at this point. Yeah. $20? They sold over 2 million copies. And then they just got bought by an investment firm, for Christ's sakes. Money is not going to be an issue.
This is where they realize it. Like people are saying in chat, clans will pay money for things. Like a clan will pay money for a banner, have the ability to put their own custom, you know, something on their base, maybe have a customized look of a base, maybe have a skin, you know, for their clan, like the bigger ones. You could pitch in money and you could buy a skin. I mean, there are things that they would pay money for. It's just they've not put a single one of those things that interest clans into the game.
But now they will, because now there's going to be a sole team, or they just need a good project lead for survival. They just need to bring somebody in that says, all right, this is what we're going to do with survival. That's what they need. They'll have the developers now. Here's the thing. Once BR becomes its final product in the summer of 2016, they're not going to even be working on it anymore. They're not even going to work on survival or on the BR mode. Once that game is out, it's going to be little tweaks. They're not going to be doing anything to it. And that's the thing is
people don't expect huge changes in that. Like look at Counter-Strike. If you look at CS:GO, what real big changes do they make? I mean, they add maps to that game.
They do.
Right? But they don't make major content changes of how the game is played. Like people expect it to stay the same because they want to master that game how it is. right? If you take BRs and just add in different maps, you know, make it to where they drop in a smaller size, make the games quicker. Like, you could do a lot of things to get that variation into the game to where you're not having to put a bunch of development time into it. You know, you just have a couple guys that are working on a map, maybe working on a few things here and there. You know, that's all they really need to do for BRs now. And then they're also going to be developing things in survival mode that will be huge upgrades that they can easily then port over. I mean, it's going to be the same files. They can say, oh, we upgraded how the gun looks. We upgraded how these buildings look nicer. Put those skins on there, right? I mean, that would improve the other one without having to put any resources into it.
I see what you're saying. And you're right. It is still the verdict is still out on, is this going to be, can they actually make a decent survival game? But if I remember correctly, let me just confirm this, because I'm always wrong with all of my information. Let me see here.
We need a fact check for Nick.
Well, I'm trying to figure out where in this post they said. Okay, so here we go. We are happy to tell you that we will be bringing H1Z1 King of the Kill out of early access on PC and to Xbox and PlayStation 4 this summer. So, yeah,
but not for survival.
This is my whole thing. So this split's going to happen. BR's done.
I wonder if that's when they're releasing the map 2. Right? When they release map 2 on BRs and it tests out fine, it's ready for release.
Who knows? So sometime the summer can span anywhere from you could start the summer. When is the, I don't remember when the equinox is, but you, I mean, the summer is May or June, normally June. And then you go, sometimes you go until October. So you've got this period of time, but once this game is done, or once King of the Kill is out on PC, Xbox and PS4, then we will have, there will be an almost complete a workforce on survival, because there's going to be nothing else to work on. They're either going to have to lay the entire staff off or tell them to go work on survival.
Yeah.
So,
and hopefully they really start putting into it, because there are, I mean, if they could change the base building and like that be priority one, imagine how many people would come back for a new base building system.
Yeah. I mean, I think this new guy,
I mean, all here. That, I mean, that's most of what survival is nowadays. People want a really good base building system, so that you can make something together and work with your tribe or clan or whatever you want to call it and do something. And this game totally lacks that right now.
Yeah. I don't think nobody can disagree with you, because what you're saying is 100% accurate. The new, what is he? The new C, he's not the new CEO, this is CTO or whatever he is. I think he's got a vision. And he is, I feel like we are in the right direction. This split,
I mean, he probably said, you know what? Why, this makes no sense. You know, like, he came from a major developing company and a major developer company, right? He came from a big game studio, and he probably looked at this and said, what are you guys thinking? You know, what is going on here? Like, you guys have been grandfathered into this and you guys don't follow the big game developing rules. I mean, you could call it that. Like, what big game developers do to be able to get a product out on time and quality development, all these things in-house, they got to be not following it. And he probably walked in and said, you know, here, things are going to change. I would assume that this is what he said.
Now,
you know, things have to change now. And we are starting to see big changes.
Now, Gravity said that Legion CM on Reddit said that base building is not the focus of the development in the moment. I don't care what he says. He's not a developer. Legion CM is great.
No, not in this moment. I mean,
he's not a developer at this moment. Exactly.
But if they're going to have to sit down and say, all right, how are we going to make a survival game? Okay. Well, you're not going to make a survival game by, you know, changing the hatchets to look a little different.
But that's the thing.
Changing how you've got to make major things that people are going to actually do, and base building and making the map actually look nice, Like, those are pretty much the two things right now. I could care less about jumping and fire and all those things that we see that's been the big progress up until now.
And that
really is a lot towards them, I think, trying to get BRs ready.
And they will continue to do that. I am certain that after this split, they will continue working on fire and lighting effects because they need to, before the summer, they need to have a polished look for BR, which is fine. I hope they can get BR out in June. Get it out of here. Nobody cares about it.
Well, you know, the people that care about it care.
There's a subset of care. But for this game to survive, as a survival game, BR needs to be out of the picture. It needs to be completely out of the picture. So if they want to spend the next
when they make
six,
a decision, it can't be as how is this going to affect BRs?
If they want,
that's how it is right now. Everything
exactly.
They do is how's it going to affect BRs? Oh, we could care less. Make something that doesn't matter if it goes into BRs or not. Like, do something that doesn't carry over because everything is carried over until now.
I have not. They could take the next 6 months for all I care. I mean, I could care less as long as they can get BR polished enough where they can push it off and they set, you know, maybe five people are working on it with tweaks and whatever else, and the rest of the team is working on survival. That's what they need to do. And PHVCK was saying in reference to Gravity Beard's thing, they never said what they're working on. So that's where I don't, if they now have a survival team of people that are just working on survival, I don't know what the hell these people's jobs are, but it's not going to be fire effects because that's not a survival thing. That is not a thing.
I mean, you know, they've already got that down. Like, for what the engine can do, like, fire effects are fine. Like, what I saw in that last update they did, you know, as far as the monthly update of their changes.
Yeah, the art update.
Fire is done.
Well,
fire is done. Like, I don't want to see any more we're working on fires because it looks good. For the engine they're in, that fire is looking as good as it's going to look. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, really?
No, it is. It is, and it doesn't look bad. I think the fire looks fine. The fire effect is cool from the art.
But that's not making my game. Like,
exactly. I mean, but that's no longer going to be the focus. If what they said is true, that they are splitting this off and it's going to be two separate games with two different development teams, you know, two different teams that are focused on two different things, we will be golden. If that's a bunch of bull, which it's very possible that it is. Then who cares if the game splits up? But I really hope that by the summer of 2016, BR is out on all of these platforms, and now three quarters of the development team doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
What about Forge Light 2?
Stairwave says, yeah, well, the engine team is writing the new Forge Light 2, but the thing is, they don't put out any details about Forge Light 2. They announced Forge Light 2 a long time ago, and they don't talk about it. Like, they've been very close, you know, tight-lipped about Forge Light 2.
Maybe this is it. Maybe Forge Light 2 is coming out with this split. Maybe that's why they split. Maybe they're going to keep Battle Royale on
Forge. 2 has got to be out soon because
it's going to be out for the map.
Outdated technology by now.
Maybe BR will stay on Forge Light 1, which realistically it doesn't need to be on Forge Light 2. And then they'll move Survival over to Forge Light 2. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I think I said it last week. I'd love to be the guinea pigs on Survival for Forge Light 2. Like, because we're already used to the game performing poorly. We're already
used to
the game. No, I'm talking about in Survival. Like,
yeah,
we've dealt with everything going wrong possible, and we've accepted it, right? In Survival.
Yeah, but it's early access.
If people want BRs to work correctly. I mean, that's their big thing, is they don't want to feel like they were shorted on dying. Well, in Survival, with all the hackers and everything, like, we just accept that we're not going to have anything, that everything's going to be taken, whatever we have is going to be broken when we get back. We're okay with that. So put us on the new engine, because what could possibly more go wrong? Already, all of our stuff usually is destroyed and gone each day anyways. Who cares? Right?
I'm all for Forge Light 2.
So, I mean, yeah, have this be the test. Like, this is what they're testing Forge Light 2 on. When they can test it on Survival, when they feel like it's working really well on Survival, you could turn around and say, all right, it's solid enough to put into BRs, and it's not going to break the game, and people are going to have the same kind of gameplay, but it's just going to look better. And it'll be a win-win for BRs later. But they're not going to be able to just throw it into BRs. I mean, that's supposedly going to be a finished game.
Yeah.
You can't turn around and change the whole engine and be like, oh, now you're going to have to be an alpha again. Like, exactly. That's not going to work.
So this game will be out on Forge Light 1. King of the Kill will be out on Forge Light 1, and that will be that. So I guess that's that's. Do we have anything else for BR, or not for BR?
No. They one thing I wanted to mention is they put a temporary hold on the trading until all this changeover is done, because they don't want people. I mean, it's they stopped it. I think they want it so people aren't all of a sudden grabbing all the skins they can right now. I think this is kind of a selfish thing, grabbing all the skins they can right now before the split, so they have two of everything. And then they can later go and trade it again, because I think they held it because then all of a sudden people would have two of every item to be able to sell in the marketplace, right?
Yeah.
So they, I mean, this makes sense. All of a sudden, you know, people would buy all the really expensive things because then they'd have two of them and they could sell two of them on the store and make double the money, or, you know, double their money.
Yeah. Now, Gravity Beard posted some comments, and we'll wrap up Atron Zeman with this. So this was a back and forth between a Redditor and a senior technical architect. And the question was about a AAA engine. And the response was that our, you know, our back end architecture, our server architecture, that will not work with the new engine. It just, it, you know, it's proprietary. So like use Source, use Crytek, use whatever. It's not practical. And then what he said,
it's not going to be a seamless transition to do it. Like, they might as well just start over on Survival.
Well,
you know,
but they're not moving to a new engine, at least some other engine. And this is exactly what he, and this, I agree with him 100% on this. He says, and I quote, "So you want us to stop all, you want us to stop progress and spend the time to convert our game to a new engine? Really?
Yes.
We have some issues to resolve. We are working on it. Also, Ark is a great game, doing quite well. But if I'm not mistaken, they are limited to 64 max users per server. We support double to triple that in our current state." That's a legitimate thing. The Ark's, because the Ark server is required. Ark is, I mean, it's the same issue that Minecraft has. Minecraft, because it's a Java server, requires so much overhead CPU and RAM that you can't throw 300 people. You can have an H1Z1 server with 300 people on it. You can't have an Ark server with 300 people. No way. No way. So, them switching to Crytek is not an option. Them switching.
Well, I'm not saying that, but even to their new version of the engine.
They're
on an engine that was made for a game that came out in 2009.
And they fully admit to that. But them making their own engine, they can still use their server architecture. That's what it comes down to. Millions of dollars that they've invested into the architecture, the back-end architecture for this engine, they can't throw that away.
Yeah.
You can't throw that away. No big business, no company can do that. You can't take millions of dollars of invested infrastructure and just say, "Oh, well, screw it," because some guy on Reddit said that we should switch to Crytek. It's not practical.
Well, and
Would it be great?
I'm not even saying Crytek, but
but whatever engine, it doesn't matter.
Forge Light 2,
I agree. I totally agree.
They have the
agree.
Option to make that compatible or not. Like,
and it will be compatible. I'm sure it will be.
Do you want it to be, though? Because look at the backwards compatibility and probably the suffering of performance and all these things that they're going to have to do to try to make something backwards compatible.
Well, it won't be backwards
compatible.
They could
start over and make it right the first time.
I don't know. But you got somebody saying in chat they should use the same engine if it miscreated. It's not an option. If you ran a business or ran a company, you would know that you can't just throw millions of dollars worth of architecture out because the community wants you to get on a new engine. It's not practical, folks. Wake up. It's not practical. You can bitch about it all you want on Reddit. It's not going to change anything. I'm sorry. It's just the reality. It's just, they are currently invested in a proprietary engine, which was, thousands of man hours to develop. I mean, the engine controls all of the physics in the game. So, you know, thousands of man hours on the engine itself, and then I'm sure you've got millions of dollars invested in the back end architecture. All of those servers, data centers, they have a data center in Australia. They've got one in Europe, and then they've got a data center here in the U.S. I mean, that's servers all over the place. It's just not practical. Forge
See,
Light
I personally,
2.
I think they're going to dump Forge Light 2.
They. What do you mean dump Forge Light 2?
I mean, by the time that they're even coming close to even releasing it, it's already 4 years behind technology.
But that's fine.
What? No, it's
it
not.
Is. It is. When they co- what is the solution?
People are going to be tell expecting me what the solu- DirectX what? 12, and they're going to be like, oh, we finally what's got out DirectX 10.
What's the solution? What's the practical solution? Brian, you used to run your own business. What is the practical solution? It is not start clean. They can't. They have. They've invested.
They need to look at
millions.
Other options.
There is no other option besides swiping the entire company clean and restarting. It's not an option.
Any future games they make, they need to start doing under a new engine that's actually current, that they don't maintain, because they have proved that they don't have the ability to maintain and build an engine.
I totally agree
with you. They don't have the ability to do it.
In future games, I am all for them not using their own engine. It was a bad idea for them to start.
They need to come up with that decision now.
But at this point in time, they can't do shit to H1Z1. They would have to rewrite the entire game.
It's probably going
to
stay on this engine for the rest of time.
That's a possibility. That's a real possibility.
They just need to say, you know what? We decided there is never going to be a Forge Light 2 because we've never seen a screenshot of anything in Forge Light 2. Never. There has never been a screenshot of any development tools for Forge Light 2. There has not been a single thing in Wiki. They have a mention that there is going to be a Forge Light 2 for DirectX 11 compatibility that will allow the, that's the only mention on the internet, other than people saying, wow, we'd like to have Forge Light 2, that there is. It doesn't exist.
I agree, and I'm not going to argue with you, but people saying, and I love this on Reddit, switch engines, man. Switch engines. Yeah, you have no freaking clue what you're talking about. You can't, what is just a switch out the EXE? Oh, now we're running Source Engine now.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
Like,
it's not possible. And everybody that's talking about this magical switch, use the engine miscreated. Use the Arc engine. Use the Call of Duty engine. Use Frostbite. It's not an option, folks. Think about it. They'd have to rewrite the entire game. They'd have to hire an entire new staff because their staff only knows how to use their engine. I mean, they were hired and they've been working on it since EverQuest.
We got a bunch of guys that have been working on this engine since... I mean, when was Forge Light released? It was released
with PlanetSide or with EverQuest. Yeah. Early versions of EverQuest are running on PlanetSide or on Forge Light. They would have to fire their entire staff. It would be years. We'd look at 2 years from today if they said we're gonna build H1Z1 in a new engine. They'd have to fire their entire staff.
I mean, they've done this restart for 5 years. And if you look 5 years ago, this engine was not cutting edge 5 years ago when it was released.
Yeah.
But now that with Forge Light 2, it's nowhere near. I mean, just coming out with an engine and saying, oh, it's going to be DirectX 11 compatible isn't enough.
Yeah. And Gravity Beard is saying, Nick, calm down. I remember you too. I want an engine change. I'm not saying that I don't want one, but it's not practical. I can talk about it on here for 60 episodes. It doesn't matter. You can put as many Reddit posts and hound the developers on how you should be using Miscreated's engine. They don't care because it's not physically possible. It's not. That's like you... It's just not possible. You can't. You can't build a game in a proprietary engine and just say, oh, we're going to use something brand new now. It doesn't work like that. That's not how programming works.
That's the issue. If they're going to have a proprietary engine, they have to commit to a proprietary engine, which they have
done. And they have not done. I totally agree. Yeah.
I mean, well, they have. They've committed to it, but they haven't kept it up. Like, they haven't committed it to it in the way of saying, all right, we're going to keep this thing up to date, current, you know, pushing the edges of technology. I mean, if you look at what Crytek Engine is going to be doing as Lumberyard, and what I'm sure Amazon, who paid $50 million for the engine, they didn't develop their own. Yeah. It's hard to do.
It is hard to do. And it takes
a lot of money. I mean, they
that's the whole thing.
Put $50 million just to buy an engine.
Imagine how much it costs SOE to develop. Millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of hours of work time.
But if they're not willing to put in the millions and millions of dollars to make the engine good, then don't. It's like saying, I'm going to fix up a car I'm going to get some spray paint and I'm going to spray it down the side. Well, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
Put the spray paint away. You're just devaluing it. It's not worth anything better. You're wasting money. But if you're seriously going to have professionally paint the car and put all these things into it, you may not make your, you know, make a ton of money off of it, but it'll look nice. It'll work well.
They're, and
I don't want the spray paint job. And I feel like they're doing the spray paint job. Now, with
normally
the, engine.
Normally Gadlaw and I butt heads. This is not something new. Gadlaw and I normally do not agree on stuff. He just said, I don't think I've ever agreed with him more on a post. He just put in chat, somebody somewhere is making the answer to H1Z1. Exactly. H1Z1 is not the game we were promised. It's never going to be the game we're promised. And if you still think it's the game you were going to be promised, you are freaking delusional. I'm sorry. If you have not accepted the fact that H1Z1 is not going to be the kick-ass zombie survival MMORPG that they announced it was going to be in 2014, I'm sorry. But you've been living, you've been like lying to yourself for the past year and a half. Because
we were looking at screenshots and video at that time, and we figured, you know what, it's early alpha.
Yeah.
So it's going to look like this. But then, you know, you go back a year later and it looks identical. I mean, it's a year and a half later now from those original videos and screenshots that we saw. The game doesn't look any different. And so that's the issue, is we were expecting that to be the launching pad going into then being developed and looking awesome. And it looks exactly the same as it did, if not worse. And we, you know, we showed that with screenshots a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Now, right? PHVCK is, I totally disagree with this. We all got scammed. Deal with it. I got hundreds of dollars worth of enjoyment. If you're talking about our value and if you did some, whatever that calculation is, I have, you know, I internally be like, all right, I look at a game and I see how much time did I play it? How enjoyable was that time? And you spent hundreds of dollars worth of fun gameplay that I've enjoyed for $20. I did not get scammed by H1Z1. They didn't scam me. There was no curtain pulled over my eyes. It's been very clear for a while that
we got a lot of enjoyment out of it, but you know, it's a game, you know, it's a cheap title. You buy it, you get however much play out of it, and then you move on. And that's what it seems like it's turning into.
Totally.
If they don't put in a lot more content, it's not going to be the game that you keep coming back to.
Yeah.
So
there's a...
But, well, you know, I feel sorry for the sucker that buys it here in the next couple of weeks. When it's $20 and then they just have survival, they don't even have a BR to fall back on when times are slow. Exactly. And it's like, okay, you know, how are they going to maintain those people?
So that's H1Z1. That's a man. That was good. That was a good discussion. I think.
Yeah.
So, Brian.
Now, moving on to a game that I've been hyping.
Saturday.
Who gave that to? Was it Judd?
Judd
gave you this.
Yes.
Was it Judd who donated this?
I believe Judd sent me a copy.
Or was it Fire?
I don't remember who it was. Now I feel like an ass.
I think it was Judd who donated this game to you.
Okay, so somebody sent.
Yeah, it was Judd.
Judd sent me a copy of Miscreated before last week's show, and Saturday night, supposed to be working on an English paper, and we were dealing with a TeamSpeak issue, so I hopped on there and I was talking to Brian. Who are we playing with? Jay DeLore. We're playing with Jay DeLore.
JD.
So it was Brian and Jay DeLore in the Miscreated room, and I was like, hey, Brian, I got something's going on here, and then the next thing you know, I'm playing Miscreated.
Yeah.
Did you stream it?
No, I was getting ready.
Yeah, because I saw the topic
for more people to come on. The topic changed because I put it in the program, but I never hit stream.
Gotcha.
And it changes the topic. And I was like, you know, I was waiting to see if more people came into play and that it would be more fun. But I just wanted, I was having fun.
So
doing that. So
let me, I'll give you my opinion. Let me just pull. Hold on. I want to figure out how much I didn't play in a while. It was late. It was like 12 o'clock. I played for 66 minutes. So I played for just over an hour.
But you got to get a feel for what it is.
Yeah. I totally got a feel. So I guess real quick, I'm just going to sum up my initial, you know, hours worth of gameplay. And I did actually meet up with Jay DeLore after you got off, Brian. So I ran around with him until you actually don't know what happened. This game totally brought me back to the DayZ Arma 2 mod. It was dark. It was grungy. The houses, you walked into a house, you had a flashlight, you couldn't actually see what was on the ground, what you were trying to pick up. There are a lot of issues with Miscreated that I saw within just the hour that I played. And I'm not you know, like, ah, screw it, miscreated, it's not good. But there are issues. There are a lot of issues in miscreated. Like, you can't run up hills right. There's like this weird thing. It's like this hills, this, it's like a mountain when it's really just a little incline. There are issues with the day night cycle is way too long. In my opinion, but
we're so used to other games that JD and I were like, oh, it's starting to get dark. We better we went to this water tower to kind of hold out, and 15 minutes go by. We're just like, it looks exactly the same brightness.
It was still the exact same brightness when I got off after I played for an hour.
It's like time is almost real time.
So slow.
I
should have written down notes. A few other things. There were no name tags above people's names, so I didn't actually know. Like when I got close to Jay Delore, I mean, like, we were on TeamSpeak, so I knew it was him, but I didn't know. I didn't see a visual representation of that. And then it ended in a gas station with some guy walking in with a pistol and killing both of us. Somehow, yeah. Jay Delore lit him up with the, he had like some,
I don't
automatic.
Think we, I don't
he had
think like we a machine, to,
he had a machine gun. He lit him up and the guy killed me and him with a pistol.
I don't think we know how to aim the guns correctly. Like, we don't know exactly where on the site you need to aim,
so
all those things.
It ended with that. It was fun. It was nice to play with other people and be in an element that I wasn't comfortable in, because it was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this, I've never been in this house, you know, like, what's in this house? All the houses are, for the most part, pretty different. A lot of emptiness. There's not a whole lot of loot, which I guess is the goal. There's a whole lot of houses you walk into and it's just a waste of time.
You find a lot of food.
Yeah. And there's no, the, like, I crafted a backpack at one point, but even at that point I was still having to drop stuff.
Yeah.
So, It was a good game. If you guys are playing again, I'll definitely hop on. I don't think it's a game that I would play by myself, just because I feel like
I run around, but it's a game definitely to play with people. And we ran into some people that were doing the, you know, making some buildings and things like that. I think once they come up with storage chests, it'll change the game quite a bit. Once people can build a base and they feel like they have something to defend, because right now there's no storage chests.
Yeah. So what you have is what
there's
you
not
have.
Like, you can go out and get what you have is what you have. If you die, you've lost everything, which is cool. But if you're wanting to get a lot of people on and having them get on and feeling like they're accomplishing something, that's where you're going to have to get the chests in there and have a base to actually hold something.
Exactly.
I did want to mention that they are going to be having a developer stream here on Thursday, I think it is, at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Cool.
So they're going to be doing a developer stream, so you can hear from it's a small development team. I mean,
I'll check it out. We'll have to watch it and see what's going on.
Yeah. So yeah, and like for my pants, I think I've got like 8 slot pants, and you know, like you can get more carrying slots, but it's still not a ton.
I have nothing.
I mean, yeah.
As I'm dead, but I had fun. It was fun. It was a zombie.
What did you think of the environment? Like, what did you feel about the environment when you're running around?
I didn't see it because it was so dark the entire time. I didn't experience the game.
Yeah, because you came in late.
I didn't experience the game at full daylight. So what I saw of the environment was through the scope of the flashlight, which was limited. The models seemed all right. They weren't anything spectacular, like the item models. So, you know, like the trash. It seemed kind of low quality, but that may have been the flashlight and that perspective. It was fun. I had a good time. Yeah. Maybe this is the game that kills H1Z1.
I mean, if they continue putting out content, I could see it getting to the next level, because content wise, as far as the feeling that you get, just all the things inside of it are, I mean, to me, it has that survival feeling. Once, you know, 'cause they have a really good base building system, but since there's no storage system currently, and I'm kind of curious, what are they going to do? Amazon bought, you know, a license to the Crytek engine.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, are they going to convert over to this new Crytek engine that Amazon has? And will that change the development? Will that change, you know, the game to where, because then they're going to start using Amazon Web Services. And then how many people are they going to be able to hold on a server?
You know, I doubt.
Because it'll be something that grows.
I don't know how that transition works. It's so new that nobody's got any info.
Right now, the game is 50% off. Miscreated, it's $9.99.
It's a good buy and to play on a rainy day. I think that
They got nice vehicles. The building system is pretty cool. Like, you can make some really cool looking buildings. We saw people driving around in trucks, and
I got ran over by a truck.
A big 12 person, huge truck.
I got ran over by a van. It was like a VW station wagon van.
They've got cave system in this. And you barely saw any of the map.
I didn't see much.
It's a really big map.
Yeah, and I was able to find my way around.
People say it's a small map, but for how the content is and how populated the map is, it's a big map.
It was pretty easy to get my... I mean, this is the first time I've played it, and it was pretty easy for me to get around. I just followed the road signs, stayed on the main roads. That was that. I will be playing it again if there are people on playing. Yeah. I had a good time. So.
Yeah. Well, and we'll have to do it here soon, because we'll, I know Lane was wanting to, but something, he was feeling really sick. So
yeah, we'll have to stream. We'll stream it too. We'll get some more people in there. But that'll happen. So.
Okay.
I played Miscreated. Finally. Now. Yeah. There we go.
Now, so let's do a game dump 2016, because I have a number of things to give away here.
All right. Are we starting off with like a high price game, or where are we starting off?
I have three of a game that has a time limit on it for me to give away the licenses. So let me pull up what this is to make sure that it's something good. But it is something that's in a Humble Bundle that I have a certain amount of time to.
What does it expire?
It expired. The gift. Yeah, the gift version of them expire, because they gave me four licenses. One is for me, and then three I can give away.
Why don't you do like one now, another game in the middle, and then another one later or something? I wouldn't do three in a row.
Well, what we could do is give away two right now, and then give away one later with, you know, maybe another game. Like, we could just get two to the Super Bowl, do two rolls this time.
All right. If enough people enter, let's go for it.
All right. We'll see how many people enter.
So what is this?
All right. So let me put the keyword in here first, just so people don't start guessing. All right. So this game is called Vertiginous Golf. And there's the Steam. It's came out March 7th of 14.
What's the keyword?
Oh, golf.
It's golf?
The keyword.
It's a golf.
Yeah. It's like Golf Simulator.
Oh, okay.
But this is it's an interesting game. It says it's a dystopian steampunk mini golf adventure game set in the skies above an alternate world where life on the ground is enveloped in permanent smog. So it's a steampunk game. Golf. I mean, I haven't played it yet because I just got it today. But yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, we'll give away two of these.
All right.
Yeah, so put in there golf.
All right. What else did you play this week while this thing rolls through?
I played a lot of Dying Light, because I purchased Dying Light, and I purchased the season pass for it as well. So I've played through most of the normal campaign.
How did you buy the season pass? I got a notification that you bought the season pass.
Oh yeah, I bought it with with PayPal. I don't know.
Did you buy it on the right account?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
Yeah, I think you may have bought it on the wrong account.
Okay. Yeah, I bought it because I bought it in Steam. Oh, okay. So I'll have to look and see. So yeah, I bought the Dying Light Dying Light on Amazon for like $29.99, and then I got the expansion pack, which is still cheaper than buying the regular game. So yeah, I bought it, and then now I'm getting to the point where I'll start going into the expansion packs, which goes to a whole nother place.
Okay.
So yeah, but I mean, it's a fun zombie game, but it is definitely a story that's kind of driven, like you're driven to a particular direction. You know, it is open world, but it's like, okay, you have main quest,
exactly,
and you have side quests.
It's an open world with a story that you have to follow.
Yeah, And so I just got to the point where I unlocked my grappling hook, which makes it a lot faster to travel around. So it'll be interesting to see where I go from there.
All right.
So yeah. All right. So we got 10 people so far. I think that's how many people are going to
go for it then.
Queue up for this. And your girlfriend rolled for it. So,
okay.
So we'll see if you win it. All right. So the first winner is Stairwave.
Oh, yeah. Stairwave. I haven't seen the name. I don't know if I've seen that name in here before.
Yeah. Well, he's been talking in chat.
No, so. I mean prior to this. Yeah. He's made some good points. Yeah. All right, Stairwave.
All right, so I will send him a message, and I will roll one more time here. Okay. Let's call it golf, because I'm not going to try to spell that word. All right, we'll roll again, and Jay DeLore has won the second.
You know, now he's not going to play Miscreated with me.
Now he's going to play I'm sure he won't. I'm sure he won't be stuck on this mini golf.
Mini golf or Miscreated, the question of the day, what do I play?
Yeah. All right, and I'll have one more to give away after this, but I'll, yeah.
All right, so that's Brian. Oh, I forgot to play the sound effect, damn it.
Yeah.
All right, so
2016.
We got some ARC updates here while Brian's sending those out. So we start off this week with 235.5. This is like super short notes to the fact that this one just fixed rare location issues that caused a server hang. So... like, I guess if you were in a location that wasn't,
we were running allowed. Into this.
Oh, really? Okay. So, elaborate.
So, well, we were having it to where I think Jay DeLore and some other people were trying to get to their bodies, or they're trying to go up to the one of our northern bases, and they go to a certain place and everything would stop responding. Like, it kicked them out.
Huh?
So yeah, it was pretty random, and I was like, "Well, let's we tried a couple different things, and with this patch, they fixed that." But that we definitely ran into that. You'd go to a certain place. Now they're saying a localization issue, which seems like that's language, I think. So maybe the different issue, but we were running into where they go to a certain place. Localization though is language issues, so I don't know.
Yeah,
that may be a different problem, but we were running into a problem with local, like you'd run go to a certain place and
localization issues.
Yeah, but that I think that's a different issue. So
that's at 235.5. Now, Brian, yeah. This next one, I know you're the top one on this next one. I think you're excited for.
So yeah, this was one where they had a bug that we talked about last week, where they couldn't get BattleEye into the Linux server. So they implemented it in 235.6, which came out on the 12th. BattleEye clients, Mac and Linux. So I was able to turn on BattleEye for our server, mm-hmm. and it's working as far as I can tell. They fixed Gallimimus passenger Gallimimus. Onboarding issues. So people getting off of that, because that's that tri-riding dinosaur where you can have three different people on it. Fixed some servers displaying as BattleEye that weren't actually. So some were saying they were BattleEye servers when they hadn't enabled it. French translation. So we've been seeing all these languages come in now that they've done the localization stuff. So French translation version number one. And then RAIN, fixed RAIN VFX not appearing on clients. So that was something I hadn't really noticed, but I guess RAIN wasn't showing up.
And then the next one here is 235.7. And again, fixed localization font. So I guess this is language, not actual like localization inside the game. So they fixed some font issues with that. Improved the ground clutter draw distance and performance. So the ground clutter is like the stuff that you can't interact with, like the some, like it
they're
looks like
sitting there,
it's
yeah.
like there's rocks on the ground, but you can't interact with the rocks. They're like fake rocks, just part of the terrain. So that's improved. And then added the credits label. In for the localizations options on the main
menu. So people can actually translate the credits.
Exactly. That's good that they're doing that. And it's community oriented.
Yeah, it gets the community involved on.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're a big prominent, like that last one was what, French it was converted to. If you're, you're a big French gamer and you know the language really well and you know English really well, it seems like that's what people are doing, right?
Yeah.
Multilingual people are just... And man, does that save them time? Not having to hire out and sub out contracting work for translating? That's great.
But that's the thing is they're able to do it in a standard way so that people could go and do it themselves. Now, in 235.8, which came out on Valentine's Day, they added an ARC Valentine's Day event, which runs until 5 p.m. Eastern on Monday. So it is already over.
Damn it, I missed it.
Where you could get a box of chocolates that randomly drops from mating dinos. Eating them will, which is, this seems really pointless. Eating it will either insta-restore full hit points on you or knock 40% off of a dino's tame bar. Which one are you going to do?
The dino tame bar, of course.
Exactly. So like, I got one of these, and so I'll be giving away to somebody. But imagine we could use this for a Giga.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take 40% off of a Giga tame.
That's pretty crazy.
That would be pretty nice. And then also during the event, 2x mating boost. But the thing is this was an event that ran for
3 days.
Like 2 days.
February 14th.
Till yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. It ran one day.
It ran one day, and yet they're doing boost for mating, which takes 3 days to do.
Well, you would get a boost.
It still wouldn't finish in the time that you had this going.
Well, no, but I'm saying you could get like part of the boost.
Yeah, but it's still, it's just... Anyways, they need to run this for more than a day.
It's a Valentine's Day. No, this is a Valentine's Day event. Valentine's Day is quick. It's not like Christmas where it's like a whole week debacle. Valentine's Day is quick. It's one day. You buy your wife or somebody else flowers.
But an event can run for two. But the thing is, if you have a wife and you're in Valentine's Day and you're spending it because you need to do a tame that's going to last, you have to sit there and babysit a tame for all of Valentine's Day? Are you insane?
Well, I think if you're...
They're encouraging people to not go out with their wives on Valentine's Day because they have to stay home for this.
Weren't you playing Miscreated on Valentine's Day?
No, that was on Saturday.
Oh, that was on... You're right, that was on Saturday.
No, that was... And Valentine's Day was Sunday.
Oh, I know Valentine's Day
was playing Sunday. Hockey Sunday night.
Oh, see? So exactly.
No. But still, like, they're encouraging you to stay home and do a tame because you can't do anything else.
I don't see a problem with that.
When you're doing a tame. Well, not a tame. Sorry, a mating.
Well, and if you don't have a significant other, this is a great opportunity for you. You get some tame boost. You get some chocolates in-game. It's like somebody loves you.
Yeah. So, and then they fixed unassigned key bindings on localized languages. So
everything's about every update so far has had to deal with localizing.
I mean, that was a big change. I mean, they're seeing the problems and they're fixing it. And then on 235.9, which was today, they ended the Arc Valentine's Day event and they added hooks for international fast pipe official servers, VPX.
What does that mean?
Good question. I was looking at it and I was like,
fast pipe fast official. Pipe. Sounds like if you do a search for fast pipe, it's just the ARC update.
Well, and then there's some. Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
There's like welding stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at some
plumbing stuff.
Some guy that edits video on a Mac. Fast pipe. All right.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see what that is.
That's internal lingo.
Fast pipe. Official server. VPX.
Virtual private something? Who knows?
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, VPX is a server technology, but there must be something for making it so that it interacts with those servers correctly, like more efficiently, I would assume. It's taking advantage of a technology in it.
All right.
Is got to be what Fastpipe is. So
that's well, I know. No, I'm thinking of FastDL, and that's like a Counter-Strike Garry's Mod thing. But that's
no, not related. This has got to be some internal like feature of that.
It might be how the
community that it's using.
It might be how the servers communicate or something like that.
And it's only for their officials, with probably using very specific hardware and all that.
Yeah. Now
that's the last one I saw for this.
You teased during the intro to the show, you tease, yes. It's a tint. It's a tintable skin for H1Z1 on the fast pipe. You were teasing a administration tool that you use for.
Yeah. So I've been following on GitHub.
Cause you run, the server. You don't pay like a host.
No,
company.
Yeah, I run the server. And so
in your basement.
Yeah. Not in my basement. I wanted to find a way to run this correctly to automate updates. First of all, I was having to wake up or be like, oh, there's going to be an update today. And I have to check, and you know how they are with updates. Like, all right, you know, if they put out an update and then everybody's Steam installs the update, they then can't log into the server.
This is a Steam. This is like games like Counter-Strike and Garry's Mod specifically deals with this really hard. Because yeah. they'll do like little updates and none of the servers update. This is a huge issue when people host their own servers.
So that's the thing that I was able to, with these tools, and I you know I follow it pretty closely. With these tools, I am able to check for updates every hour, not only for the server, but also for the mods, because that's another issue is model update. People will update inside of Steam, and then the server, because it hasn't restarted the game on the server part of it, it doesn't run that update, and then all of a sudden people can't log in because of that.
Huh.
So I was having it became a big problem. So what I was able to do is with this tool, every hour it checks for updates to the mods, checks for updates to the server. If either one of them have an update, it will then restart the server and put the new ones in. If they don't, it doesn't touch the server and everything's fine. So it makes everything seamless. So if you're running an Arc server, this is an excellent set of tools for Linux to be able to automate updates. And you can add or remove mods with it as well. They just added that feature today. You could install mods before, but you couldn't remove them.
Cool. And so, this is a GitHub project. Did you
yep.
fork it?
Are you making
your own modifications?
No, I've been not on this one yet. I actually have that other one that I showed you for my actual servers.
Yeah.
That I had done. Like I forked that, made changes, and then the guy actually brought my fork in and cool. made it part of the main. This one, there's a few little changes that I did, but it was stuff that I just put a issue ticket in with. Gotcha. And then they just fixed it. Like they've got a number of guys working on this. If cool. I come up with something cool, I've been thinking, but it's everything they've been working on. Like if they say they're going to be making a GUI interface for this, so you can manage everything through a web interface, and they're doing a lot of work.
GitHub is unbelievable. What yeah. GitHub is, if you've never used GitHub, think of something, type it in on GitHub, and there's guaranteed to be a repository of what you're trying to accomplish. Somebody's already done it on GitHub. It's unbelievable.
Well, and so like I guess to get nerdy for a minute. Yeah, for 1 minute. We'll cut it off after that.
The clock has started.
So I had to wear these new Let's Encrypt certificates. I wanted to start using those because they're free certificates and they work really well. Well, with my hosting software, there's no way to bring those in automatically. So I found somebody who had done some of the code to be able to copy certificates in the right place because they have to update every month. And so there was a bug to where it didn't work out of the box. And I was like, well, you know, he's doing a couple of things he doesn't need to do. He's not doing some things he should do. So I put some code together, pretty much finishing his project I forked it. And then I said, hey, if you want to use this, just give me some credit when you merge it in. And he did that. And now, you know, I use the one that's on his main repository in GitHub for it because it's exactly like the one I had created for myself.
Look at you.
So if I'm going to go and add something in the future, I'll fork it again and say, hey, you know, here's something added. If you want, you can go ahead and put it in.
Yeah. GitHub is great. There's even Let's Encrypt's a pain in the ass.
See, I've got it totally automated.
Well, but I mean, like, the way that they set it up with having to renew it, I mean, they kind of shot themselves. They made it hard for people to do stuff day one, but
this does is it every day it checks for a new updated certificate.
Perfect.
And so if there is one, it copies it. If not, it says, hey, nothing's changed. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
So, yeah. Anyways, that was my nerdy minute.
There you go. So this is a division story. Now, Brian, I don't think I told you this. Did you?
You canceled your pre-order?
Canceled my pre-order for the Division. The season pass is a total turnoff. I'm not buying it. I'm not paying $90 to play the Division. I really enjoyed the private beta, but I'm not spending $90 to play this game. That's really only fun if my friends are playing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's really only fun if your friends are playing. So you're paying $90, and then you just got to nag your friends to...
Yeah, hey, you want to play? But if it really takes off, you may turn around and say, hey, that's the problem of them putting out this season pass this early before they even have any content out.
They shouldn't have even announced that there was going to be a season pass.
Yeah, they should have waited. And then when they say, hey, we're going to be releasing some content, you can get a season pass or you can buy it individually, because now you see that we're actually releasing content.
Yeah, and anybody that's watched the past few shows, I was all in on The Division. I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. I had so much fun.
Now, there's an open beta coming up here in, the next couple weeks, so you can at least try it again.
Yeah, it starts... let me pull it up here. Oh, crap. I want to say it's like the 18th or something. Let me see here. It starts...
It says it's this week.
February 18th on the Xbox One, and then February 19th on the PS4 and PC. It's a 27 gig download. If you already have the other beta client, it's a 1.6 gigabyte patch, and that's available until the 21st. So you have like 2 or 3 days, depending on what system you're on. So now my whole thing is, I'm going to play this. I'll play this open beta, and if they
let's see how much progress they made. Because if they made in this short amount of time between when that was to now, if they made a decent amount of progress and fixed a lot of bugs, that's a good sign that they're going to continue putting out content for this.
If they really knock my socks off with the updates that they do in this open beta, if it's not the exact same thing as the private beta, then I may pre-order the game. But that,
I mean, there's no loss yet.
That season pass, man, is a real... And the biggest problem with this is if your friends have season pass and you don't, you can't play with them. Because they're going to be doing stuff in the game that you're not going to have access to do. So you're going to be like, you're going to be a straggler. So you're either, and I say conned, and I don't mean conned. I mean, you're not being conned into it, but you're kind of forced, if you want to play with friends that have season pass, to buy it or not get the game at all. And I just was like, I'd rather save the $60 and buy another game or buy something else that I'll, you know, actually be able to play. So,
Now the post I put in here is actually eye tracking technology. And I don't know if you want to play the video or if you want
to. Oh, you want me to play the video while you talk? Yeah, I'll let you, because if you, did you read this post?
Yeah, we can do that, because the people that are listening will have no clue what's going on.
Okay.
But this is actually using a sensor bar. So it's a extra product, which they could really do with these VR headsets and things like that. I mean, it could be built in. But you can have these bar that actually tracks where your eyes are looking so that you can either mark targets or you can move to certain places based on where you're looking at the moment. So it actually does affect in-game what you're doing.
Okay. So I'm getting an ad here.
Yeah, I'm getting an ad for another game that's coming out. So let's see if it actually... So the HUD elements, like the mini map, turn opaque and fade into the background when the players aren't looking directly at them. So I mean, that is something unique that I haven't seen yet. And they have it to where, let's say you're in cover and you're looking at a spot, you're looking at a spot that you might want to go to. That's how it'll track. You know how right now there's kind of a place where you can roll forward into another area that you're looking at.
Yeah.
It'll look and base that based on where you're looking. So you're like, oh, I want to roll to this spot. It'll see that you're looking there, and then you'll have the option to roll there.
This is interesting. How much is this device?
I'm not sure. This one's the Tobii iX tracking sensor bar. And I didn't look it up on Amazon, but let me see if it actually...
This thing looks pretty cool.
I don't know if it's something that is available. Really expensive, or, I mean, it's got to be available. So the Tobii iX, it is, I see that they're using it in some other games, but I don't know. There's another one for $175 or $174 that's SteelSeries Sentry.
Oh my God.
So that is another, that's not this brand though.
Interesting. All right. Well, I can't imagine it's cheap. I mean, it's doing eye tracking, right? I mean, I'm not expecting it to be $20.
Yeah.
But, all right.
I, I mean, this, you know, there aren't very many games that do it yet, so it might be something as they're starting to release these, you know, it'll start to unravel.
I guess so. I wonder if it'll work with the, like, the Xbox and the PlayStation. I know the Xbox comes with a Kinect. Like, yeah, that would be cool.
Well, the PlayStation has the PlayStation Eye.
But it doesn't come
I don't know if that does any kind of eye tracking or not.
I'm not sure either.
So, yeah. I mean, we'll just see. But this is being built into the game. So I would be surprised if this isn't going to be one of the things that starts making it more common. Because right now it's not very common.
I wouldn't even know where to put that. I don't even have a place to put that anywhere. Monitors are so thin now. You couldn't even put it on the top of your monitor.
Well, it's kind of like those
Wii U, which are a colossal.
Which you'd
pain
have
in
to pretty
ass.
Much stick. You'd have to kind of tape.
Those
it.
Things are the worst.
Double sided tape to the top of your screen.
Perfect, exactly.
So now here's the game that came in. I've heard of people tell me about this.
You don't play this game? I thought you did.
I just got it today.
Look at you.
So this, I got this in a Humble Bundle.
Oh, the new Humble?
Not the monthly. This
gotcha.
I'm
signing up for that.
Arc is going to be the one that's on the next one.
I got to sign up for
this. This is the Humble Gamepedia Online Multiplayer Bundle. I know you hate it when I talk about these, but.
No, I don't hate when you talk about it. Not at all.
So this one comes with Awesome Knots. It comes
that
with
game's fun.
Skins or content for Heroes and Generals.
Ooh.
It comes for skins or content for Dirty Bomb.
Okay.
It comes for Skinner. So it's not coming. Those are free to play games. It comes with Skinner content. I haven't seen what they are, but it's called Jump for Wildstar. And then if you get the $15 one, it gives you another thing for Dirty Bomb, loadout cards. That gives you the ability to be other characters in Dirty Bomb. It gives you some things in Paths of Exile or Path of Exile. Life is Futile is the game it came with. That virtual golf game, it gave me a 4-pack of that. So that's why I had 3 to give away. It came with additional skins for Smite. It comes with additional skins for Neverwinter. Comes with War of the Vikings. It's a game. And then it comes with robot packs for RoboCraft.
I saw you playing RoboCraft and I was like, I wonder what's going on.
I logged in to put the skins in there.
So this seems like you better hope Life is Futile is a great game, because if not, you just bought a bunch of stupid skins for $15. Not that skins skins are stupid in my opinion. I don't like them. But this game better be worth $15 because you didn't get much
else. Someone was telling me about this game that it is pretty intense. Like, ooh, it is a true survival game and it's really hard.
Why have I heard this? Have we talked about this before?
Well, one of our tribe members, clan members, had brought it up saying, hey, I'm playing this. And it's, you know, it's a really good game, but it's kind of a hardcore game. It's for hardcore players.
Okay.
So, but it's, yeah, Life is Futile, Your Own, and this game right now is $39.99 to buy.
So you got a good deal on it.
Yeah, so I got a good deal. They're still putting out patches for this game. So January 28th, there was a patch.
That's a good sign.
So it's not a dead game, but it's like a game that you can dig anywhere. Like, it cares how you chop down the tree. Like, when you're chopping down a tree, if you just hit random places on the tree, like, that's where the chop marks are. You have to actually chop the tree in the same place to chop it down. I haven't loaded, I installed it, but I haven't loaded it yet, but I hear it's a pretty intense game.
Cool.
Like, you can dig holes in the ground and it's like make tunnels and all kinds of stuff. Does actual terraforming.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, and it's a medieval life simulator for 64 players on a 3 kilometer by 3 kilometer game world.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. 3 kilometers in a game. I'm not sure what that compares to. So I'm trying to think of a 3 kilometer map. So I don't know. We'd have to see what the DayZ's map, or what would be a good comparison map.
I don't know. I don't remember what DayZ or. Which H1Z1's map? I don't remember how big that
is. So, Chernarus is 225 kilometers, right?
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, and how much did I say this one was?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty big map, because Chinaris is a ridiculously sized map.
Chinaris is huge.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. I'll play a little bit, but it's a game that you play with people. So if other people, if anyone else gets this game, like, they should jump into our TeamSpeak, and it'd be a good option to go in there and play a little bit. But it's free terraforming and building, so you can pretty much build whatever you want and, like, do whatever with the land.
Cool. So are you going to play that this week? Try to play that this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting school. I started school today, so.
Bunch of few college boys doing a podcast.
Yeah. So we got to see. I mean, as long as I keep up with doing how many hours a day I want to do at school, I can't sit here and play games all day. So.
You can.
I could.
That's what I do.
Well, one of my first classes is Intro to Web Development.
So, don't be a smart ass. Don't be like, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. I tried that. It doesn't work.
I can test out of it. So, like, my whole first semester, like, I put in there when I think I would finish it, and it's like a month from now, and it's supposed to be, you know, going in 3+ months. So
yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
So we'll see.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, that's that. Life is futile. But if you're going to get a Humble Bundle and you're really into those games, like, if you do play those games already, you may be really into those skins, because I know there's a number of people that play Dirty Bomb, and you can get the characters for Dirty Bomb, those other specialty characters, which are kind of hard to unlock. Or if you play Heroes and Generals, I know we played that a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it.
Yeah, I'm signing up for that monthly Humble Bundle. So that'll
be unlocking Ark. This next time is going to be unlocking Ark. So
maybe I'll wait a month then.
This coming month, you may want to wait till the next
I'll
one.
I'll wait a month, or I can see if there's other good games.
See what other games are worth it.
Because I'm canceling another subscription. I was like, might as well put it into something else. So that's what we'll do.
Okay, so now the season pass for Fallout was announced.
Yeah, I saw that today. I didn't look. Did you look at this at all? I saw it.
Yes, I
was so busy today.
It today.
Oh my!
And even though I've not been playing Fallout, but it's one of those games where I know I'm going to play it.
At some point, play it.
Yes. At some point, I'll play it. And the season pass is going up in price. So it's going to be to where right now it's $29.99 for like another however many days, and then it's going to be going to, I think, to $40-something.
Oh, really?
For the season pass.
Yeah, not paying $20, sorry.
So if you're going to get the season pass, now is the time to get it. But it looks like you're going to be able to put, and they show a screenshot, looks like a guy on a motorcycle, which is a new thing for Fallout. We not really have had vehicles.
I really don't like this whole season pass thing. I get it. You got to make your money. I totally get it.
But if they're going to keep on putting out content, like, as long as they're going to continue to put out content.
I mean, here's my thing. This is my argument. The game was $60. That encompassed the, you know, get it, you know, all the graphics work and all the engine work, everything. And now they're selling DLC for $40. That's more than half the price of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of I personally don't do season passes. I do it for one game a year, and it's like, that's Call of Duty. And that totally makes me a hypocrite, but I don't care. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I got it for this just because I know that Fallout is going to continue to put out things.
Totally. Yeah. Bethesda's really good.
That's just how they are, but they have a proven track record, so I'm not so worried about it. Other games, man, I just
like what, Brian?
Well, I mean, imagine if they had a season pass for H1Z1.
I knew you were going to say that. You're going to be like, oh, look at these guys. They're not even updating anything. Ah.
I mean, they're not even updating the regular game, let alone put out initial content. So,
I disagree with you.
You know, there's certain games that you just be like, I'm not going to get a season pass for that. But I know with Fallout that they've already got three. They put out the season pass when they announced, I think it was three DLCs.
Oh, all so three DLCs are in DLC. That season pass?
I mean, you'll get every DLC with a season pass from here on out. But they're announcing immediately they have three DLCs coming out.
The same time? That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's three. Yeah, three coming out at the same time. So that'll be something to... you're going to be getting that much out of it. If you were to buy each of those individually, they'd be more than $29.99.
Yeah. All right. Fallout talk.
Yes. So, all right. So for updates, I wanted to mention that our friend rustguide.info.
I saw this. This makes me very happy.
He received the $18 to redo his domain name, which we should have put. We should have done because
I was going to.
You would have put. You should check out the Infection Podcast, the Survival Podcast. Instead, this random guy named VR Chaos. He puts what servers he plays on.
Damn it, Brian. You know, you're spending all of our money on season passes for.
I know. I bought a season pass. I should have bought
two season passes.
Not on the. No, I didn't buy them on.
I don't know.
I didn't buy both of them on there. I bought one definitely under my money.
The other under mine.
Yeah, one under ours. So, but yeah, so this guy, I mean, and now we can see the updates are flowing out again.
Oh, thank God. I love how the domain was like the thing that stopped this.
He's like, oh, I can't do updates. That $18, I just can't do it. Oh, okay.
All right, guys, I'll do it. Don't worry.
The $18, I mean, his time is no more than $18.
I can see the... I feel like this might be a younger person. And
his time is not worth much to him.
No, that's the discretionary income.
Yeah, he just doesn't have
like you have the discretionary income. Like you and your wife both work. You have $18, like whatever. But like well, I like what?
I'm not working anymore. Well, I am just doing hosting.
But like I remember when I was like 14 and 15. When I got my first web host, it was $1.99 a month for unlimited web hosting.
Oh my goodness.
But you got to do what you got to do, right? So, yeah, that's that. But that's backup. So that's the that's rustguide.info.
And so if you want to see the list backup. Of the couple pages of updates for Rust that is every week, he has those on there.
Yeah, that's up.
And we'd brought it up that he might be shutting down a couple weeks ago. So that's why I wanted to mention it. Now, Unturned is a game that we have been discussing frequently.
Yes.
I mean, the last two podcasts we've talked about this.
And more updates?
And he has had two updates since the last podcast.
This guy is really...
Last time I brought it up.
Well, that was last week. We talked about an update lab with the helicopters and the boats and whatever.
And so he's had two since then.
Cool.
So if you look, there's the 3.14.3. No, this is... I take that back. Oh, no.
Yeah, February 5th, that was
then I take that back. So there's February 12th.
Okay, the one update.
One update. The other one I had, it was after one of his posts. I think he reposted information.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So he's had one update since then, but it's a decent number of fixes. So he added a claim flag, which might be some new kind of style that they're going to be doing of gameplay. They added maple syrup, dough, pancakes, waffles, donuts, and pizza.
That's America.
Yeah. He added a nail gun. A police launch, which I assume would be for the helicopters.
Okay.
Maybe
I was thinking of boat launch, but
maybe what's a police launch though? So, added dead zone node, biohazard suits protect against this.
What is this? What is this? The Division, dark zone,
dark zone, dead zone, button to center map on player. So it's a map that they added that. They added separate durability to suppressors rather than using gun durability. So your suppressor can run out before your gun. Added search and hide uncraftable filters to crafting. Added options to swap between black and white interface. So I guess if you're worried about it being too dark or too bright. And then they made improvements to like physics and performance and different things like that. They did a number of tweaks and did a lot of fixes. So he is continuing to put updates out to this. People are now asking for bikes.
There you go. H1Z1. Take a note.
Yeah. How long have we asked for bikes?
There's one in the game. It's above one of the cabins.
All right. So, and actually someone just put a new tweet from Sebastian in chat.
Oh, hold on. Here we go. All right, Brian, lay it on us. What's going on here?
All right. So he has on here pretty much screen like printouts that they've posted on a wall.
It's like a flow chart.
That are the UI flow. So that when you load the game, there is a disclaimer. There's the logo. There is a little loading screen. And then if you don't have an account, it goes to the Daybreak account creation UI scale screen, which is some automated thing. And then I can't tell what the last one is.
Gamma adjustment.
Gamma adjustment. And yeah, then it goes to a adjustment. Menu. If you look to the left, you can pretty much see screenshots of what the menu system is going to look like.
You got to love this. Look at these pictures. Look at how detailed these are.
And so they have on there, it's like a screen which actually has like a graphic of the city.
It's a police station. The menu to the left.
And then you can launch either into, there's six menus. I don't know what the one on the left is.
The one on the left looks like...
Is that the actual game?
That looks like the actual launch screen. Yeah, that's pretty cool looking.
And then there's one where they've got these different menus. Like there's character creation. I think there's probably your character. Like they go through and I don't know what all these menus are yet.
No, look at all of them. They go all the way down. Is that a new logo? What is that star? That's a new logo. H1Z1's going to have a new logo.
Yep. And so you can see it from here.
It looks like either a star or a scarecrow head or a witch head or witch hat. It's a star.
And then if you look at it looks like they have like for the, I guess those are maybe just the varying different background screens, but they show like a wall of tools and weapons.
Well, I think that's for different.
They show a truck that's in a garage.
I think it's for different options. Like the one is like your inventory. There's a ticket system. This looks pretty freaking cool.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they put this in and where these come into play because we haven't seen any of this yet.
No, this is cool.
If you look at the character creation screen, like the guy's got blonde highlights.
Yeah, it looks like it's totally editable. There's something on whatever's on the right. I wish I could see this. Whatever's on the right, there's settings on the right-hand side.
Once again, they're putting out low-quality
screenshot. It's not a screenshot. It's a picture of a wall in their office.
I know, but it's like you can't quite see the details.
Well, I don't think they want you to see the details. This is going to be coming out.
You could say, well, I wonder what that Sterno Level 2 access means. I don't know. Maybe something new.
Exactly. So we'll see. There we go. Cool.
So now... on this wall, like, look at those very direct lines.
Yeah.
Like, how did they do that on the wall?
I don't know. This looks like a wall, and then part of it is, like, CGI. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what it looks like. It looks like he edited in there. Because I'm like, did he take the time to, like, put these arrows on there? It looks like they edited it into that.
Possibly. Who knows?
So.
Cool.
Yeah. People have been trying to grab close up screenshots of what that looks like, but they're super fuzzy.
Yeah, you can't, not readable. Cool. That's
breaking news.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here first on Infection, the H1Z1 podcast this week, I guess. I guess we want to do current players and then our giveaway, or giveaway then current players.
Let's do a giveaway. Let's do a giveaway now, and then maybe we can maybe do another giveaway if there's a high participation in this one for the next.
All right, it's time. It's the game dump. It's a very crude sound effect.
So let's do for this game giveaway, because let's give away the golf game by itself.
All right,
and then we'll give away another one separately, just so that we don't run into an issue of person getting a game that they already have or don't want.
Okay. So we're doing golf game now?
So let's go ahead.
Doing the golf game.
Let's get the golf game out of the way. So go ahead and type golf in chat.
All right. We're doing golf again. So if you
golf again,
if you're Jay Delory or, who else won the last time?
It was that our new
Stairwave. If you're Jay Delory, Stairwave, don't enter. Enter golf in there. I guess I'll do current players while we're entering these, right? Might as well use the time.
Yeah, you go ahead.
So here's current players. This is the last time, Brian. This is a sad moment for Infection. This is the last time we will see H1Z1 combined numbers. We are going to have to do...
As you'll have the BR numbers, and then you'll have the
survival
numbers.
So what I'll do is I'll do a BR... This is going to be a lot of...
Which will be interesting to see what the true survival numbers are next week.
I got to automate this. we really need to work on this, because this is event. It's going to be three.
You want me to make your little HTML?
I can make a. I just got to do it, because I mean the background is just static. I just got to put the background on, and then I just got to have the. I don't know if SteamDB has an API, but I can check. We'll get to figure that out. Next week we'll have Just Survive numbers, King of the Kill numbers, and then we'll have a combined numbers section. So we'll do all that in there. So currently playing H1Z1, this is combined totals, 16,462. The 24-hour peak is 22,530, and the 7-day peak, 27,199. And these numbers are almost spot on from where they were last week. Currently playing Ark, 35,770. The 24-hour peak is 51,906. And the 7-day peak, it's going very strong. The 7-day peak at 63,320. And then we'll do it again. We did it last week. Unturned, currently playing 14,000 players. Just more current players than H1Z1 when this graphic was made. 14,697. The 24-hour peak, 26,789. And the 7-day peak, 36,822. That's almost... That's just under 10,000 more players than H1Z1. So
nice,
pretty crazy.
So yeah, well, and next week, man, that'll be the true test of how many people are actually playing survival, because we haven't known up until now.
They're going to be high next week. They're going to be high the week 3 weeks from now. So
people will launch survival. That's the thing, because it'll be a new launcher. They want to see, and this is probably why they're so. Into this and making sure that this release is going to go with something different, because you got to get those numbers up. Because what if, I mean, if you have 200 people launching survival, you got a problem.
By the 8th or 15th of March, we will have an accurate idea of numbers. Next Tuesday, the numbers are going to be high. Everybody's going to be playing survival. So by the 8th or the 15th of March, so in 2 to 3 or 4 weeks, we will have more accurate numbers. So
Jay Delory says he can't redeem the game.
It's not a redeemable. It's a gift. You have to send it to him.
I send him the code.
Oh, okay. I don't know how that works. We'll deal with it after the show.
He has to open it up and do it.
Okay. So are we rolling?
All right. So let's go ahead and roll for this. So our winner is Z Jordans.
There you go. Congrats, Z Jordans, on some golf game that I can't pronounce.
Yeah, it's got a crazy second part of it. So there we go. Golf. Okay, so now let's go ahead and give away. Should we give away a bigger game now?
I guess.
I don't consider the golf game a big game.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe incredible.
I'm not sure. It's all your call. I mean, we gave away three games. Participation is not. I mean, your call. Your games.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do about Saints Row 4.
Oh my God, that's a great one.
Yeah. All right, so we will do, let's go ahead and do Saints Row 4, and let me put in a new, I got to open this up again, so it lets me put in a new keyword.
Okay.
And so for the game, let's go ahead and just type Saint. All lowercase, so just like this, and we'll be giving away Saints Row 4.
All right, while we're doing that, do you want to do tip of the week, I guess? We'll give people some time to enter?
Yeah, because, I mean, we can give them a little bit of time. And here's a link for Steam.
Okay.
So that you can see what the game is if you've ever played Saints Row 4. It's a fun game. There's a lot of content in there. All right, so yeah, let's go and go. Tip week is where I go through and do some sort of a survival tip, something about the types of games that we play. It can be something specific to a certain game, or it can be a general tip that covers all of survival. So this is tip of the week. All right, so for tip of the week, I wanted to – this is not a normal tip, but I just wanted to tell people that sometimes you need to take a break.
Now, screw you. What is this?
This is a good tip.
Oh, God.
As a someone who has 800 games,
oh my God,
I'm telling you that this is something that is very important for long-term being able to continue playing a game. Too much of a good thing can hurt you. Jesus. And if you find yourself playing a game nonstop for weeks at a time, you would be better off if you took some short breaks from playing the game. Don't play it every single day because you will get burnt out.
And we see this with,
we see players that do this. You get burnout and then you never want to pick up the game again.
Like me.
Yeah. So exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you take breaks and give yourself a little bit of time, play something else. I'm not saying stop playing games altogether. I'm saying hold off on playing that same game because you will get yourself burnout and then you'll not want to go back and play it.
Or carpal tunnel, like Dadlaw said.
Yeah. I mean, you may get carpal tunnel and that may be a good reason to stop playing a game for a little while, or all games for a little while. Just put down the computer and walk outside
now,
or something.
I've got to say, personally, I'm talking like physical breaks from my eyesight has gone to, it just gone to the dumps in the past like 4 years. I can't see anything now. It's really bad.
See, I've got really good eyesight.
I had great eyesight, and it's destroyed. It's gone.
Now, one thing, like, when I've been doing my school stuff, I got a screen reader. Like, I got something that I can highlight text and have it read it to me.
Oh, did you pay for the screen reader?
No, it's just a Chrome plugin.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because it's so much reading that, for me, just sitting there reading all day, my eyes are just going to be...
You need like
my screens are really bright.
You would need like e-ink. You need like a Kindle to put it on so it doesn't hurt your eyes.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to get a reader because I personally, when I hear something, it sinks in better anyways.
You're an audible learner.
I kind of zone out when I'm reading too much.
Same
like
here.
My eyes are going by it, but...
You're not actually reading it. You're just like skimming the words.
It's like I'm skimming the words, but like it's if you ask me afterwards, I'm like, I think it said this.
That's my biggest downfall.
So I got this reader that I can just highlight text and I'm fine if I follow along. Like I can read it as it's reading it to me, but what I'm actually hearing and learning from is what it's saying to me, not from what I'm reading.
Do you know the name of the screen reader? Was it called ChromeVox or something?
No, this is text. It's from texthelp.com.
Okay.
I went through a number of different ones. ChromeVox is horrible because you don't give an option. Like it just starts reading everything. Like the menu says this, you have to hit this one key to cancel because it keeps going and keeps going.
Oh,
it
nice.
Never stops.
Perfect.
And so this one, you can just say, all right, I want to read this and it will read this section that you have highlighted. And it works pretty seamlessly. So, but yeah, on gaming for tips of the week, that was tip of the day.
Tip of the day? Is this a new segment? You're going to come on Twitch and do a daily segment?
Take a break. I mean, play a different game. Don't get yourself burned out because we see that a lot. Like in Ark and H1Z1, you'll get people that play for 2 weeks nonstop every single day.
It's a problem.
And you never stop. Like they don't stop playing for those 2 weeks and then you don't see them for 3 weeks because they're so burnt out. I'd rather have it to where you're playing 3 months later and you play three times a week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, for longevity, take a break. You know, you don't have to play and accomplish everything in the game today. Let yourself enjoy the game. So that's my tip of the week.
All right, that's a good tip. That's a real down to earth tip of the week there, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to think of something. That for me, like that's something that has made it to where I can put down a game, and I'll want to come back to it because I didn't burn myself out on it.
Yeah. Real quick, code word Saint. We'll draw in a second here. I think that's my biggest issue with gaming is because I feel like I gotta keep playing this. I end up not having any fun. It's a very weird issue.
Oh yeah, if you feel obligated or you feel like you have to go in there, then just don't.
Yeah, PHVCK says he's 2,000 hours into Counter-Strike. The tip is just the tip of the week was just too late. He's already drained his entire life down the toilet there. All right, I think we're ready for the Saints of Row 4.
Saints Row 4, yes. All right.
Firewatch has an update. Oh boy, got to get that.
So Ferrari has won this. So she won it for you. Do you already own it?
I don't know. Let me look.
You might want to check.
Okay.
Or unless she wants it. I mean, she may.
She doesn't have a gaming computer.
She doesn't have a computer, so that may not work out.
She has a computer, just not a.
But not a gaming computer.
Not a game. I was going to give her my old desktop, and I was like, no, it's mine.
No, she can't have it.
No. I have Saints Row.
Saints Row 4.
Oh, I have Saints Row the 3rd.
It's a totally different game. It's up to you.
Give it to somebody else, whatever.
Okay, we'll reroll.
Yeah, whatever. I won't play it.
So, PHVCK. PHVCK has won, so now...
No, I take it back. I want it. No, it's mine. I don't want it. I want it.
So he can put down his Counter-Strike, and now he can pick up...
No, I specifically... I want it now, just because it was... Because he won.
Yeah.
That's my show. I'll hack into Brian's email.
Yeah.
Because he's sending it from the infection account, I can see it as like a sent message, so I'll like grab it before you can even redeem it. There you go. Enjoy.
All right, so I am sending him the message right now.
Coolio. So I did. I canceled my Dollar Shave. This is totally after show. I canceled my Dollar Shave Club subscription, and I'm signing up for the Humble Bundle monthly. I'm very unhappy with their razors.
Yeah, Dollar Shave Club. See, I use Harry's.
Yeah, I should have used Harry's in the first place.
Yeah, I haven't shaved this week. I've been kind of slacking on it because I'm a student now. I don't have to shave ever.
Shut up. Ramen in a coffee cup? I gotta go to school.
I've got a big, huge pack of the Asian ramens.
Ready to go.
Should save this for the after show.
We should. But no, I'm signing up for that monthly bundle. I think that's important. So
yeah, and it's got good games. Definitely worth it. I mean, this one is Ark. If you don't have Ark, it's definitely worth going up for this next one.
Totally.
So yeah, I can't think of. Is there anything else we didn't cover?
No, I'm good. Where can people find you on the net?
So if you want to find me anywhere on the net, definitely check out biteoftech.com. That's B-I-T-E of tech.com. On there, I've got links to everything. I mean, even if you want to go see my GitHub repository to see stuff I work on. I've got all the links on there that take you to everything. So that's the main place to go. And then, of course, infectionpodcast.com. You should really get into our Steam group because we're going to be playing some Left 4 Dead. We're going to be playing some Miscreated.
Some H1Z1. That's happening this week.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll be playing some H1Z1. I'll be getting
Brian
off.
Brian will be.
3 month break of H1Z1, or is it two and whatever months?
I can look. Hold on, we can do this live on the air.
I haven't launched mine in quite a while.
Let me see when the last time I launched H1Z1.
I keep saying when they come out.
11/19. Yeah.
So I keep saying when they put out new content, I'll log in, and so I guess this is new content because they'll change the loading screen.
It is. you'll enjoy it. Because you haven't played the game in over 3 months, you'll be like, this is a fresh breath of it. I mean, the stuff that you remember is like, it's going to be like relearning.
It's like my tip of the week, you know, just take a break. If you know,
that's the kind of break you're talking about.
But yeah, like you don't, if you feel like you have to get in there and there's no enjoyment being in the game, then you know why.
Yeah.
But, and that's what it was feeling like when you know, it's going to be the same thing and you're going in there purely to run around and do nothing. You know, it's not worth doing. So hopefully they'll come out with some new stuff and it'll be bringing excitement back to the game. But yeah. So check out our Steam group or jump into our TeamSpeak if you want to come in. And even if you're going to be playing a different game, it's fun to just come in there and talk to people and have some fun. So, and get to know everybody.
Yeah. Steam group currently 340 members strong, 47 in game. So, definitely check that out.
Lots of people. Whatever game you play, there's probably someone in our Steam group playing it right now. Yeah,
exactly. And invite your friends too. If you've got friends that are in play similar games, send them an invite to that. Invite your entire friends list. Actually, you won't get any nasty messages from your friends.
Invite that the day we opened it.
Yeah, I invited everybody.
Are you inviting us to this group?
Well, everybody else invites me to their stupid like TF2 hat trading groups. I'm like, F you. You can invite me to your group, and then I don't send you like a takedown notice. I just click decline. Instead, you're gonna report me, scumbag. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Of course, infectionpodcast.com, the Steam link, or the Steam group, and the TeamSpeak logo pictures are on the right hand sidebar there. You can check out my other show, Crummy Show.
We covered Crummy Show on the Net.
Crummy Show on the Net. Crummyshow.com. We had our Valentine's Day special. that was the episode title.
And your podcast is like, other than this, is like the most dedicated. I watch it almost every single time.
Yeah. And we tried it. The 2 weeks ago, I was sick. Last week, Jake was sick. But we're going for as many shows as possible in 2016. So we're making it happen at crummyshow.com. Gaming Geek and Disorder. It's like the, if you enjoy the Infection post post show, but not with Brian. Like, if you don't really like Brian and you really like me,
if you feel like I'm dragging the show down,
yes,
you got a great show.
If Brian is just dead weight on this show, and you're like, yeah, take him or leave him, you should really check out Crummy Show. One day it will overcome infection.
if you want to hear a guy try to spell his name, his last name,
I can spell his last name.
Zimbrow something.
Zimbrowski, it's a Polish last name. All right, enough of this. Whatever, we got to get out of here.
Did you see there's someone posted a screenshot of the How to Survive King of the Kill? Just survive. This doesn't make any sense.
There's no way that's
yeah,
real.
Because if you look, they're both in the same launcher. It says Just Survive, and then there's a button for King of the Kill.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Well, actually, no. Maybe that's in the test server. I don't know. Okay, well, we're ending it here. Alrighty, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Infection. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. And we'll see you next time for Infection. Have a good night, everybody.